Welcome back to Coffee with Yvonne, a show for creatives and entrepreneurs. I'm Yvonne Pearson, your host and the founder of Pink Dollhouse Marketing. Welcome back, y'all, and for all the newbies, come on in, come on in. It's very comfortable here, and the vibes, they are vibing. I hope you guys are having a great week. Really quick for me, not much is happening. We are still in Q1. And Q1 has pulled up like the auntie at the function who don't talk to nobody, who grab a plate, then say something chaotic, and then leaves. That's how it's showing up for me right now, especially with work. I have a lot of stuff on my plate, both in my full-time role and also with Pink Dollhouse. I think one thing people forget when you're creating content is a lot of work, and it requires a lot of time, especially for the editing process and thinking through your own personal content strategy, let alone anything you're doing for like a client or a freelance contract. So I'm about to finish up one of my contracts for this year, a project with the Green Book Experience. And I'm doing the last set of shows coming up this week in DC for the Travel Adventure Show. And for those who don't remember, I did a bonus episode with the founder and president, Miss Karen Aaron, and we chopped it up about the history of the Green Book, how the Green Book Experience is revolutionizing the travel industry by connecting communities to culture. So I'm finishing up that project, really excited about the work that has been done around creating authentic content and storytelling. And that episode has been performing very well on the pod. I can't wait to see what the metrics look like after the show has been live for about, I would say about, like, I like to look at the metrics after a month, then 3, 6 plus months to see if it's still performing pretty good. But we have a few great things on the next segment for the podcast. We have exited our financial and investment series. Hopefully you got a lot of gems from there. Go ahead and listen to those episodes if you haven't had a chance, with my mom, who spoke about HR, getting, keeping, and securing the bag. My boy, Aaron, from college, accountant, a VP in accounting, who gave advice for small business owners and those who are looking to have better management with their money. And then my boy Thomas G. Bolin III on buying back the block and investing in your communities. Thomas is a director of leasing and brokerage for one of the top and most respected offices here in the DMV area for commercial real estate. And he gave really great insight about things around gentrification, the impact of organized retail crime, how home ownership is advocacy in helping to amplify your voice and making sure your needs are heard as a homeowner and contributor to your community. Now, we are moving on to our career series, and kicking that off will be one of my marketing babies, Miss Arnell Opoku, who is here on the show today. We recorded the episode a while ago, but we're going to speak in the present tense, right? She came on my show to chat about her latest book, a children's book that focuses on affirmations, positive affirmations for Black and children of color, especially considering that they're around the age of the book where she's targeting her audience, which tends to be school-age children. There seems to be more awareness around self-image, around the impact of words, especially by your peers. And what she is doing with this book, this beautifully illustrated book, is just, I am enormously proud of her. But we're going to dive into that conversation after we get into our What's the Brew segment, which, for those who are new to the show, again, welcome. What's the Brew is our segment in which we cover news stories and topics related to creativity and entrepreneurship. So grab your coffee and let's chat. Okay, let's see. What we got? Oh, I like this one. Survival of the Thickest, renewed for season 2. As Michelle Buteau sets second Netflix comedy special. This was shared out by Variety, and it was also shared out on her social media as well. Michelle Buteau's Netflix series, Survival of the Thickest, was renewed for a second season, and they also ordered a comedy special from co-creator and star Michelle Buteau. Survival of the Thickest, for those who don't know, is based on Buteau's essay collection of the same name. Per the logline, the series centers on Mavis Beaumont Buteau, Black, plus size, and newly single, not by her choice. Mavis unexpectedly finds herself having to rebuild her life as a struggling stylist. She is determined to not only survive, but thrive. With the support of her family, her chosen family, a body positive attitude, and a cute V-neck with some lip gloss. I love that. The show was also co-created by Danielle Sanchez-Wenzel, and she also serves as a showrunner on Survival of the Thickest. This is really great because the show, according to the article, has earned 7 NAACP award nominations, including for comedy series, comedy actress, comedy writer, and breakthrough creative. I like the fact that a lot of great shows on Netflix, you know, as you know, will get a great season out of it, and then it'll just get chopped with no explanation, and a lot of the fans are left wondering the why. Especially, and we've talked about this on a podcast episode before, but especially for shows focused on DEI initiatives or centered around DEI-based characters, there's a trend right now in which there seems to be a rolling back of those initiatives in favor of other content that does not amplify and speak to a more global community. And knowing that Michelle's show represents not only women of color, but body inclusivity, because Michelle is a plus-size woman, a proud plus-size woman, and does not speak to the stereotypical role that plus-size women tend to take on screen. And for those who don't know what that is, let me share. It tends to be when you have a plus-size woman, she is the funny, supportive best friend, right? She's not always the love interest or considered the eye of desire in the eyes of, you know, who she is attracted to or they are attracted to. And Michelle's show shook it up. It showed her as a confident woman who loved her body and through that confidence was attractive and attracted the energy that she should receive because of how she carried herself. And this show, I binge watched the entire season, I think almost in one sitting. I had to stop myself because it was getting late. But this show, it feels so real and so genuine. And then also to show Michelle's main character in the fashion industry as a stylist, especially considering that fashion is another space where inclusivity definitely does struggle, whether it's body diversity or just diversity in general. But to show her as a stylist and someone who's able to dress other curvy people in a way that allows them to also be confident, there's no way Netflix could have canceled a show like that. Considering, too, we were also in their DMs, comments, retweeting, reposting, all the things, telling them how much we love the show and how much we wanted to see a second season. So to know that we were heard not only by Netflix, but we were also able to amplify and uplift another woman of color in the industry and support her in her goal, I hope it goes for multiple seasons. And I hope it has a successful run like Insecure and also like an Abbott Elementary in terms of global reach. Okay, next up, let's keep it positive, shall we? Let's keep it positive. Oh, this is cute. This is cute. Okay. This was reported by OK Africa. So OK Africa shared the official trailer, the first look at the first Pan-African Disney Plus series. And y'all, please forgive me if I say this wrong. Iwaju. And that's spelled I-W-A with an accent, J-U with an accent. So my global cultural people, please let me know how to pronounce that. Thank you. Okay. So Iwaju is a 6-episode animated sci-fi series set in Lagos, Nigeria, and will premiere this month, February 28th, on Disney Plus. So the article reads, "For the first time ever, American streaming giant Disney Plus is collaborating with a non-US studio for a complete animated series. The science fiction coming-of-age story will be produced by Pan-African comic book entertainment company," again, forgive me for pronunciation, "Kugali Media. I think I did that okay. Disney Plus today released a trailer for the 6-episode limited series, which follows two kids, Tola and Kole, who exist on different sides of the wealth spectrum, bobbing and weaving through a futuristic Lagos run by a gang leader and tech pioneer, Bode. That's interesting. The Coming of Age series is set to stream all over the world from February 28th with a mobile game titled Disney Iwaju Rising Chief. Chief? That looked like Chief. I could be wrong. Rising Chief coming to both Android and iOS the same day. Okay. And also, for those who may be wondering, Iwaju's cast is made up of masterful Nigerian vocal talents, Simisola. Oh man, that's gonna trip me up. Simisola Gabadomose as Tola, a young girl from the wealthy island, and CJ Sultan as her best friend Kole, a self-taught text expert. This is a great opportunity for our brothers and sisters across the diaspora in Lagos, Nigeria, specifically recognizing the talent and also the storytelling of our culture is not one-sided, right? And I think sometimes when we explore topics related to the continent of Africa, and I say the continent again because Africa itself tends to be lumped in as one country when people speak to the continent, instead of speaking to the individual countries that are within the continent. So this limited series with highlighting Lagos, Nigeria, and also Nigerian talent, I am looking forward to see how Disney Plus does this. I did see the trailer, and it does give an Afrofuturism vibe, which is something that I've seen as a trend recently in the art space and also in other spaces of media, but that's neither here nor there. But what I love is the animation. It feels like how we tell stories in our culture, right? And I'm looking at it from a marketing lens. It feels like something that our culture can connect to, despite the fact that we feel at times disconnected from that part of our history for reasons that are not, how can I put this nicely, that were not created by us. But in order for us to stay connected to that piece of us, we have to do extra work to find those resources and things that can allow us to see the world outside of our bubble and see talent that exists on the continent, and also hype up that talent as well to build that bridge between the diasporas. That's what I mean. So the series again comes out February 28th on Disney Plus. I'm going to watch a few episodes. There's so many things on the apps right now, a lot of great content that I am, you know, supporting, but this is something that I hope to see stay longer than a limited series. They're probably testing it like they did, like they do other shows on other streaming platforms to see if there's a, how can I put this? If there's an audience for this type of content. So hopefully we'll see this amplify and grow. They have the game that'll be released the same day. I might be on my lunch break playing the game too. But make sure to check it out on Disney Plus. Use your mama, whomever subscription for login that you use. And we know you're not paying. We know. So before we get into the interview, I just have to quickly give, and I don't think I said this enough during our interview, I have to give Arnell her flowers. Arnell is someone I have known for a few years now, and I have adopted her as one of my marketing babies. But even though we don't work together anymore, I still check in on her and one of my other marketing babies, Kennedy, from time to time. And the sense of pride I have in Nelly, in knowing that she is not just a dreamer, but she is a doer. And she is someone who comes off so genuine and sincere. And there were many times I had to tell Nelly to, you know, stop being so hard on herself. And I said that because I see a lot of myself in Nelly, and I know how hard on myself I was at that age. And honestly, I still am, because perfectionism sometimes is a killer of creativity. And knowing that she has evolved from the time that we met each other to where she was then to who she is now, I am just so proud and so excited to see what she will continue to do with her natural gifts and talents, because it's not just limited to one area. Her brilliance will span generations, and I'm just going to speak that into existence, and her legacy will be felt. And I hope to continue to be around to see it as it evolves. And even if I'm not in the room, I will be supporting her with my dollars or through my social media platforms or even this podcast. So get into this interview, this very fun interview with one of my marketing babies that I'm oh so proud of, Miss Arnell Opoku.
Yeah.
Look, when I'm ready to go to Zamunda, I'm definitely going to hit you up.
Absolutely.
Because absolutely. I've already made a plan. I'm going to Ghana, and I need to go with a person who knows Ghana, because I will not be out here looking like a tourist trying to exchange money in these streets and not knowing what to do.
Absolutely. Whenever you're ready. You know I go every year, so whenever you're ready.
I know you do. I was like, oh, I should go with Nelly, but I will be staying out to probably 5 o'clock in the morning because you like being outside.
And I'm retired from that life, to be honest.
Did you?
Now, honestly, especially in Ghana, they got till like 2 a.m. for me. I don't be out till 7 a.m. anymore.
2 a.m. is even a stretch, Nelly. I need a nap before we go somewhere, right? So that nap needs to be around 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, you can take a nap at like even 8 p.m. if you want and get ready to go out by midnight and then just come back at 7.
So I have breakfast hours. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Well, whenever I'm ready, I have it on my list to go to Ghana. I want to do a whole photo shoot and everything. Like I'm thinking 40th birthday, which is, dear God, that's about 4 years from now. Okay. I'm going to sit in that with my therapist. But anyway, as I mentioned, everyone, I have another special guest on the show. And this one's a little different for me because this is one of my marketing babies. And I'm just so proud. I tell Nelly all the time how proud I am of her. But I am so proud of her growth. I remember, let's take it back. I remember Nelly joined us when I was at our old company. And she came in. And sometimes she just didn't want to even pick up the phone to talk to anybody because the thought of talking to people in real life freaked her out. And she has become someone who didn't want to talk on the phone to a two-time authoress. If you watch Girlfriends Going Up, you know where that statement came from. But she is now a two-time author, works in the tech industry, a clothing designer, I think, as well. Is that on the list too, Nelly? Clothing designer, creative consultant, international traveler, and all-around OG daddy for her generation. I have Arnell Opoku on my show today. Hey, Nelly.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm great. It's actually so crazy you mentioned that. I forgot I used to be running from the phones when people would call. And I would always tell Yvonne to answer it. Oh my God.
But you know what? You know what that is? Come on, Nelly. Come on.
It's definitely growth.
Yes, it is. It's growth. It's growth. And in your growth, you have really evolved into someone who is an inspiration for your generation, Gen Z. I know I get on you and Kennedy a lot about Gen Z and my terrified hopes for the future.
Technically, millennial. I'm the last of
them. We discussed this before. You are Gen Z. All right. Let it go. You're Gen Z. Okay. Let it go. But I'm really proud of the work that you have done. And today you're on my show to talk about your book that I have here.
Yes.
Yah's Book of Affirmations. Before we get into that, I need to give you your flowers, which is a growing bouquet. But we're just going to focus on you being an author in this bio. If you want more tea, good tea on Nelly, go ahead and check her out on all her socials. She is that girl. But Arnell Opoku is a Ghanaian. You know I'm American. Ghanaian?
Ghanaian.
Okay. You know I'm American. Forgive me. is a Ghanaian-American, two-time author, storyteller, designer, and IT consultant. Born and raised in Northern Virginia, she received her BA in PR, Public Relations, from George Mason University. She is the author of two books, Dear God, Love Your Daughter, and Yah's Book of Affirmations. Outside of being an author, she served as producer and creative director of two documentaries in collaboration with Seek Code, is a mental health advocate in the Ghanaian community, and is the CEO of her upcoming fashion brand launching in 2024. She continues to stay true to her purpose by creating a lane for herself and bring together her passions for faith, storytelling, and fashion. And with that being said, welcome to Coffee with Yvonne Arnell! Burr, 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 burr.
Thank you. I'm so proud.
And Nelly, just to let you know, I'm giving this book to my sister-in-law to give to my niece, who is also named Zoe. I think this is a really great stocking stuffer. At the time that we're recording this, y'all, it's December, but the episode itself will launch the first of the year, like, you know, January, February. So, you know, I'm already holiday shopping. My list is not complete, but this is a great way to check off my list with your book. Okay. So, as I mentioned, this is your second book, your first book titled Dear God, Love Your Daughter. But what made you interested in entering the children's book space?
So it's funny. I actually wanted to write a children's book first. That was always my goal. And I have one in the drafts, actually, that I had written. But at the time when I was, like, ready to put it out there, I had just graduated from college, couldn't find a job, and it's very, 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 very expensive to produce a children's book. And so that's when I kind of had to switch gears and God kind of gave me another idea. But honestly, what really made me like want to tap into the children's space is I just think when it comes to kids, like we as a society, as a people really need to be intentional about cultivating their minds. And that's how, and we do that through reading and through TV shows and all of that stuff. But like, it's key to know like what you're putting out there and what's, you know, what your child is looking at or watching, listening to, reading, all of that stuff. So for me, it was more so like, I really want to empower people, but I want to start as young as possible because the younger we start, the better they are in the future. So that was kind of like my main motivation.
You know, I love hearing the story behind that because some people enter different spaces but don't have a why besides making money. But when you walk into your purpose, as you mentioned, you know, the good Lord told you to pivot like Scottie Pimple's like, okay, look, I know it's hard finding a job right now, but why don't we do this that I put on your spirit for you to do as well to impact people's lives.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you are using your personal reasons and storytelling in this book to create that space for other parents to have open and honest conversations. One thing I love about your book, Nelly, it's the visuals for me. As Beyonce said, you are the visuals, but the visuals you have created in this book, the illustrations are so vivid and colorful. So one, how did you decide on the color story for the book? And two, how do the colors tie into the overall message?
Yes. Shout out to my illustrator, Io. If you're looking for a book illustrator, she is just amazing. Honestly, the cover, like, it really just blew my mind because where we ended up was not where we started. And I went through a bunch of different, like, color palettes in the beginning and, like, tried purples and pinks at one point and all of this stuff. Even the cover design, like, it, what I wanted it to be, it wasn't really kind of fitting with, like, the whole, collective of the book, so I kind of had to pivot in that way too. And so when we finally got to this, honestly, for me, when it came to the cover, like, book covers are super, super important, whether it's a children's book or just a regular chapter book. Your cover is the first thing people see, and I really wanted it to capture the message but also be very vibrant. And so having a little black girl on the cover was, of course, like, number one. And it was very imperative to me that she had her natural hair. So I did the natural puff. And then the words around her, like I wanted the message to be very, very clear of what this book is about and what the story that I'm going to take your child through. And as far as colors, we kind of went back and forth on colors, but we came up with this like final picture design. And then we had two colors, and one was like a purple and yellow, and then we had like this tealish green and yellow. And for me, I went with this color because I felt it popped more. And also, though it is a girl on the cover, I wanted it to feel more inclusive. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want it to be like too girly, because it was like, you know, affirmations are for everybody at the end of the day, boys and girls. And that kind of also fueled like, you know, the thought like, I think I should probably do another one specifically for boys. Mm-hmm. But I wanted it to be inclusive in that way, and not really be so like, oh, it's like, you know, girly or whatever. So
yeah. You wanted everyone to feel seen in your storytelling.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And that makes a lot of sense. And also, I love how you're tying in your knowledge of marketing and your choice of selection for color. Can you share a bit more about how that your marketing background played into the book's development, like how you thought about, you know, okay, this is how big the font should be. This is, you know, how many illustrations we should use. Like, give me a bit more of that story.
Yeah. So when it came to like the marketing aspect, I think from the very beginning, when it came to the illustration process, because it was really long, but I really wanted to be able to like capture people's attention through imagery. And so with that, like even, for example, me, having the little girl on the front cover, like how I kind of tied that to my marketing. I do a lot of visual marketing, so I love visual storytelling. I'm a video girly. So like any book that I've written has some type of like video promo with it. And so that was something that I saw from the beginning, even before we finished the cover. And I was like, okay, that's what I want, because it ties to the visual storytelling that I did with my niece, having her as like the little girl and telling that story through that. And I think also, like, again, storytelling is so much more broad than just words. Like, you can literally tell a story through anything. And what is marketing? It's storytelling.
You better come through, Nelly. Go ahead.
So being able to tell a powerful story through not only your words, but your graphics, your images, how you even promote something, it's going to drive people. It's going to connect people. And honestly, for me, when it comes to marketing, my strength, I always say, is I am going to make you feel. I will pull on that emotional plug of yours. And so with everything that I do, my main thing is, okay, how can I make this person feel, this stranger feel, whether it's through my, through like the videos or through the cover. Like even yesterday, I work with this, family shelter out in Brooklyn, and the admin, I've been doing like digital ads for my book, and the admin came across one of my digital ads. And the first thing she said to me was, your cover is what pulled me. And I was like, wow. And I was like, how so? And she said, it pulled me emotionally because I saw a little Black girl on the cover. And it's automatically, she was like, the kids at my shelter need this, you know? So yeah, that's always been my tactic. And that's why, like, I'm a huge Nike girly, because Nike, they are like the most powerful storytellers ever.
Yes, they are. And they're very good at authenticity. Yeah. And doing it in a way that doesn't feel forced. Like, there have been many times a Nike commercial and also a Toyota commercial has made me cry because like how it pulls you in. And I love how you talked about
the marketing tactics you use. You use video content, you use authentic storytelling. You tied in the power of the color to impact people's perception of the book through the digital ads or targeted ads for those who aren't familiar. Targeted ads are basically using certain location tags and keywords of people who may be interested in your content to draw in that prospective audience and get people to click and hopefully purchase or take action behind that ad. So by you being strategic of using the cover of the book, you pull people in with this cute little black girl. Like, she is so adorable. Isn't on this she? Cover. And then I also love, and I meant to tell you this, the blue or the teal that you use is very similar to that teal color that Michelle Obama used for her book.
I meant to tell you that.
Yeah, I saw that connection because Michelle Obama, again, being a beautiful brown-skinned woman and having this pop of bright color behind her makes her stand out. So yeah, by you making that choice in your color, you're making her stand out as well, along with the yellow in the title. So very smart, very smart. I see you. I see you. I see you, Nelly. So one thing I really want to talk about is are the parents. You know, I'm not a parent. You know, I'm a proud auntie. I love my niece as same. Opinionated as she is. Love her dearly. But she is at this age, being full transparent, where she's starting to see herself. And it may be positive or negative. And little black girls, little black boys, people of color, it's important that you have positive messages behind your children so they can feel affirmed when they go into the world. So how can parents use your book to combat negative messages and plant positive messages in their children?
So honestly, I think it's as simple as, like, you know, paying attention to your child and kind of seeing, like, you know, where their strengths are, where they're gifted and all those things, and really cultivating that for them and then affirming that in them. And I think something like that makes this book special, right, is she's my character, Yah, who is me in hindsight, right? I wrote this in the lens of like my six-year-old self. And she has her own book of her of affirmations. So she wrote things down so that when she gets sad, she can go back and remind herself, this is who I am. Like, I am creative. I am this, right? Because as life kind of progresses, there's going to be a lot of things that will make you question who you are. Am I good enough? Am I talented? Can I do this, right? And so the earlier that we pour into kids and tell them, like, their strengths and, you know, cultivate that and tell them that you can, or that you are beautiful, or that you should love your skin, or you know, all of those things. When, as they grow up, those things will already kind of be embedded into them to the point where, like, negativity won't really kind of seep in and plant that seed as it would if somebody didn't know that about themselves, or somebody didn't have that type of, you know, upbringing and things like that.
Yeah, and that makes sense, because there's a theory that says your inner child, your conscious is your inner child speaking to you on a daily basis, whether it's positive or negative. And, you know, when you, for example, like you mentioned, those words that are ingrained in you, when you have those negative thoughts, it's either your inner child speaking up to combat it and say, no, 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 that's not who you are, or they're affirming that negativity.
Yeah.
So your book is actually very helpful in that. And I love how, as you mentioned on the cover, it has positive words around this cute little girl. There are positive words like special, brave, smart, confident, strong, funny, beautiful. And a lot of times for children, if they don't have parents in their life who affirm them, they look for that affirmation in other places. And sometimes those other places are not sources that should be considered inspirational. No shade to current pop culture or anyone like that, but I would not want my niece or anyone that is a young person in my family looking up to Krishan and Blueface, or, you know, some of these other folks who to me are not positive representations of the culture. Yeah. I would rather them be strongly affirmed in their values and the people who truly love them to speak mm-hmm. life into them. Yeah, it's very easy to get lost, is what I'm saying. And I noticed in your author's note, you mentioned, like you said before, you wrote the book for the little girl who struggled with self-confidence. Can you share a bit more about how lack of self-confidence really did impact you growing up, where you had to take that six-year-old self and put it into this book?
Yeah. So I think growing up, I never really believed just how talented I really was or am. And it's because, honestly, and I think because of that, it kind of transpired in like my actions. Like I would start something and never finish. Like it was very inconsistent because, one, I didn't really have anybody really like recognize and then cultivate those gifts that I have. And two, there was nobody really giving me like that push, right? And I think as kids, like you really need that kind of boost and that support. And that wasn't something that I always had as a kid. And so it made things really hard, and it started to like reveal itself mostly like in my adulthood. And then there's also, you know, the like inner stuff. Like I never thought I was like pretty enough, good enough for anything. You know, I wasn't, I guess, you know, back then being dark skinned wasn't, you know, what it is now. Like nobody was, you know, glamorizing like the chocolate or whatever. And then when you go to a predominantly white school, like nobody's really checking for you, right? And so and so even with that, like it starts to make you think that something is wrong with you. And you know, I was never the type of girl who like, you know, some girls be like, oh yeah, I have a roster, I'm talking to 10 people at a time. Like I was never that type of girl. Never really, you know, asked out much, like all that stuff, right? And it does take a toll on your confidence because you start to internalize things and you think, well, I'm not pretty, or, you know, I'm fat, or all of these things. And I was also a cheerleader, and even, you know, dealing with that being at the time one of the thicker ones. Mm-hmm. And back then, BBLs and being thick was not was not the fashion, right?
It was not, no.
And so it's like you're looking at that, and then, you know, you start to again internalize, oh, maybe I should be skinny. Maybe if I just lost, you know, 15 pounds, I would be considered beautiful, right? And then what did that turn into? That turned into a pattern of disordered eating that followed me up until my adult years, you know? And so little things like that really took like a hold of me, and it made my adult life very difficult, I think. And so stepping out into like my outside endeavors, like fashion or writing, those things, it's even to this day, like right now, it's very much a struggle. Even yesterday I got a word that like a little girl, read my book, and she said that it felt like I was talking directly to her. And in reality, what people don't know is like, honestly, every time I do something made, like whether it's a book or anything like major, there's this, like after I've released it, there is this like kind of, you know, low period that I go to where I feel like my works like are not doing anything. Like I don't feel like I'm making impact or making reach or whatever the case is. And it's because I still struggle with that you're not good enough. And so it's really a constant like fight between that. And it's like, even though I feel a certain way, I have to put these things out regardless, because if not, you're literally just going to be stuck and do nothing. And I never want that to be my story. And I also, like for my future kids, I don't want that to be their story either. And so because of that, I really try and push and do everything that my heart's set on, regardless of how I feel, because I want you know, my future kids or even my nieces and nephews to know that, like, okay, like, she went after everything that, you know, her heart desired, and therefore I can too.
Yeah. And I appreciate how you were very transparent about, you know, struggling with self-image, whether it was, you know, complexion, weight, et cetera, because those are all things that I have personally dealt with in my childhood. Not to go too deep into it because my therapist has notes, but understanding, you know, how certain words can impact how you look at yourself. My 10-year-old self is always struggling with body image. Because my other parent would say things like, you know, are you going to eat that? You know, you don't want to get too fat, this, that, and the other, or never made me feel beautiful. And it has, to me, it had a lot to do with the fact that I was the darkest out of all of his children, you know, and it kind of made me feel like a black sheep. So seeing your book and those words and understanding a bit more from our personal conversations where that comes from, it was very affirming for me as well, because like it takes a lot of self-work to love yourself, and it's easy to look confident and project confidence but not actually be confident.
Absolutely.
At the same time, and I think people don't understand that connection, because when I tell people that for years from childhood to like my mid to late 20s, darn near 30s, I struggled with confidence and body issues. They're like, but you look so confident. Like you always look X, Y, and Z all the time. And I was like, yes, but on the inside, I was like, oh God, I gained another pound, or oh, I went up in weight again, mm-hmm. or dear God, why can't I be this size? Knowing that my body was never made to be that size. Even when I was my tiniest, Nelly, when I was like 15, short story, that was the only time my other parent told me I was pretty or that I looked beautiful, when I was that tiny. And I was playing two sports at the same time, and I had the metabolism of a 15-year-old. So everything I ate just went away anyway. Mm-hmm. But even then, I was told by my doctor, and my mom gave him a nice little Christian cuss out over this. But even then, I was told by my doctor I had to lose another 20 or 30 pounds because I was still considered overweight. And so things like that really stick with you, you know, and you're always hyper aware of how you look and how you present yourself. And it takes a lot of healing in your journey to have full acceptance. And I love how your book allows for kids at that young age, their formative years, to build up their armor mm-hmm. of self-confidence. So when they go into the world, they're not left exposed, and they have something between the words of others and their own personal affirmations. One thing I did want to talk about, and you briefly mentioned, as a Black woman of darker complexions, both of us are, it can be challenging to think of yourself as beautiful when the world tells you opposite. And you having this cute little brown little chocolate drop on the cover of your book, it's very affirming. How can parents of children who may be of darker skin tones speak life into their kids when they see things on screens that tell them, you know, anything closer to light or white is considered perfection? Like, what can they do?
I always say words are powerful, and, you know, that's what sticks. And I think always, like, for example, my niece, I tell her all the time that I love your skin. Like, even her natural hair. She has natural 4C hair. I'm like, you have such beautiful hair. Like, I always, anytime I see her, I kind of make sure to point those things out. And also, I think it's also what we see, right? So it's like, being more intentional about like showing our kids like more people who look like us. For example, like my nieces and nephews watch Gracie's Corner. Like Gracie is, you know, a beautiful Black little girl. You know what I'm saying?
And that show lit too, by the way. I'm like, okay.
Listen, that show, I could sit there for hours watching that with them. But,
all day.
I honestly think it's what we see and what we hear, and like being intentional. I think these are things that we have to be consciously aware about, think about, and be intentional, like with our kids. If, especially when you start to see your kids kind of question, if, you know, is my skin beautiful? And you'll know things like that because people voice it through, it may not be direct, but, you know, kids will start to say little things that will give you that hint, like, okay, they don't think that, you know, they look pretty today or are, you know, good enough in this aspect. And being more aware and like really speaking to that thing. So it's like if your kid is questioning her skin or feels like, maybe I should, you know, like, or even ask you like, oh, like, why don't I look like this? Because, you know, especially in a lot of Black families, there are different shades of Black, right? And so it's like, you know, you could compare yourself to your cousin who's light skinned, like, oh, why does she look like this? And I look like that. But it's like, no, your skin is beautiful too. You're both beautiful the way you are and the way God created you. I think just being intentional and speaking that out loud so that they hear it, because we do hear, process, and remember, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. And you're exactly right. And every time I see my niece, I tell her how pretty she is. Every time I see my little cousin, I tell her how beautiful she is as well. One thing I do want to know with you, and this is our last question before we go into our quick fire questions. Is there a plan to turn Y'all's Book of Affirmations into a series? Like, you know, will she be coming back and giving us some more positive words? Like, what are the plans?
Well, honestly, at first, that wasn't the plan. I was kind of like, because honestly, y'all, this process was so long. Once I got to the end, I was like, I don't know if I ever want to write a children's book. Because it was a lot. But I have been like thinking about it only because like now, after like dropping this and then, you know, giving it away and hearing feedback and stuff like that, I'm like, I think I need to do another one, just like specifically targeted at boys. So that's something I'm thinking about as well. And I use the inspiration around me. So I have nephews and I've tried, you know, the affirmation thing with them. I did a video on Instagram with my niece, kind of like going through affirmations with her. And I did the same experiment with my nephew and it was very different. But still very effective. And so I think there are just two different ways that we can approach this when it comes to like having little girls and having little boys. So that's kind of what has my wheels turning. So yeah, you never know. You never know, but it's not off the cards.
But I think it'll be cool because I saw a couple of things in my head, like maybe having Ya introduce her friend Yoshan or, you know, something like that. I don't know, you know, who's her cousin or something like that. And then he transitions into his own storytelling, could be one thing. And then another thing too, I love to say stretch your content out like pantyhose. You can take these affirmations and turn them into like a digital coloring book or something like that. Also even take the words and make them like downloadable cards for families to have on their phone while they're getting their kids ready for school in the morning or whatever activity. So there's so many different ways that you can do it that I see with this book that will give it even more impact around the world. So very proud of you. I can't wait to see what you do next. I did, clarification, y'all, I did buy the book. I did not slide in Nelly's DMs asking for a free copy. I put my card right on there on Amazon, and I actually bought the book. But before we close, I do have a couple of quick fire questions for you. Now, mind you, it's the top of the dome, Nelly. Don't overthink it. Okay? Are you going to try? You going to try to...
I'm going to try. Wait, when you say quick fire, like I have to actually like on the fly?
Yeah, on the fly. I'll give you a couple seconds, but don't like give Jeopardy level way.
All right.
In your opinion, who is the best rapper or singer of all time?
Best rapper or singer of all time. I will say Tupac for rapper. Singer Lauryn Hill for me.
Okay. Tupac no longer is with us. We had a consistent catalog. Lauryn Hill just doesn't show up, but I can see how
he Yo, y'all need to leave my girl Lauren alone, okay? I know that she only has one album, but hear me out.
Technically two.
Okay, yes.
Unplugged. Yeah.
But she, off her main album, has won Grammys. She's touring to this day, like 15, 20 years later on that album. Like, Lauryn Hill is, she's a legend in my eyes. I love her.
Lauryn Hill is phenomenal. Miss Education. It's forever a classic. We're not arguing that. I would just love for her to be on time because I can't support this woman and you coming out so late. I got to log in for work by the time you show up. Like, Lauryn, I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. I'll let that one go. I'll let it go. Okay. Next question. You've won a boatload of money. How? We don't know. Maybe it was a reality show. You finally hit the lotto. Somebody dropped off a bag at your door. Whatever. What is the first thing you would do?
Paying off my student loans. Amen.
Hey, Joe, come get this check. Come get this check, Joe. We did it, Joe. We did it.
That's the first thing. Or that would ever pay off, and so that Nelnet will never contact me again.
And they have the nerve to be sending emails. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my
God. I got that yesterday, actually. And I was like, listen, Joe has one job.
Oh, you have, just cancel them. But anyway, we're neither here nor there.
Yeah.
All right. You discover you have magic powers, like you're on your Harry Potter Expecto Patronum level-ish, mm-hmm. right? What powers, and that is plural, it could be more than one. What powers do you have?
I teleport. I'm not the biggest fan of flying. So if I could just snap my fingers and end up in whatever country for the weekend, I would love to do that.
Okay. I'm not a fan of flying either. Shout out to my doctor for my prescription of Xanax. Clean out when I fly. But teleporting, I've heard that from a few people. They either want to teleport or they want to be invisible is another one.
That would be cool too. To be invisible.
A lot of creatives like to be invisible. And I think it's because we're so highly visible in the work that we do. When it's time for us to like recluse, we don't want to be bothered by anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just probably why Beyonce don't talk to us.
And I respect it.
I do too. And then last but not least, if you were a coffee, what kind of coffee would you be?
If I was a coffee, caramel macchiato.
Is that coffee? You get those all the time? That is coffee. Yeah. You get those all the time when we work
together. That's like my signature if it's not pumpkin season, or the toasted vanilla shaken espresso.
Oh, yes. You love that one. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are my two things. So.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. How can the people find out more about you and your work and also your perfume habit?
Oh, yes. For anything perfume, you can follow me on TikTok. Honestly, all my socials are the same, but you can follow me on TikTok at Arnell Chanel, Instagram. And then my book page is author Arnell Poku on Instagram. And yes, you can get both of my books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of that stuff. And yes, feel free to send me a message, connect with me, all that. Especially if you have anyone who has any questions about like the book writing process or anything like that, I'm always like an open.
Yeah, because that seemed like it was a lot of work. I know I told you this before in text message, but it is a very good book, very well laid out. It does not look like you made this on Canva and then printed it in mass production. It actually looks like you put time and thought into it, it shows. It definitely shows. Because you know, if it didn't, I would tell you in a loving way.
Thank you. It was difficult. It was a lot. But we thank God that it's finished.
Yes. But I'm very proud of you and the work that you are doing. And I can't wait to chat with you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, what did you think? Oh, like I said, I'm so proud of my Nelly.
And you may have learned during the episode a little bit more about me and my own personal things that I have had to overcome. And that's very real, you know. Body positivity, how we see ourselves, as beautiful, you know, all things that were shared during that interview and some of those things that were expressed in her book are important to sow lives into not just children, but the people in your lives so they can continue to see themselves as valuable. Okay. Well, thank you again for joining me for another episode of Coffee with Yvonne. I appreciate your time as always. You can learn more about me and my business by going to pinkdollhousemarketing.com. Or if you want to, you can go ahead and follow me on Instagram at pinkdollhousemarketing. You can slide into my DMs. That's cool. To see a little bit, and I said a little bit, about my personal life, you can follow me on IG as well under Pink Doll Style. Or if you are on TikTok, aka the Clock app, you can find me under Pinky Creates. And I can't wait to chat with you soon. Oh, after the winter break, I forgot to tell you I'm going on one. So I'll be back mid-March around the 20th. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. There's content. Okay, bye. Coffee with Yvonne is produced and edited by Yvonne Pearson. Coffee with Yvonne is created by Pink Dollhouse Marketing. You can catch the latest episodes by subscribing to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.